Wednesday, 10:45. Caroline Edgar. Okay, I'm saying nothing at all. I'm just going to let her bang on until she runs out of steam, and then it'll be time for her to go home. I'm not even going to listen. I'm going to think about something else entirely. I'll use the time creatively. Plan next year's holiday, decide what I'm going to have for supper. I'll start writing a novel in my head. If she came twice a week, I could have it finished in 6 months.
Oh, my goodness. What a terrible shock. That's such an unflattering light you're sitting in. The way the sun's shining directly on your face. I wish you could see what you look like. It's actually quite scary. You look about 90. You've got those puckery little lines round your mouth and that crease between your eyes. Oh, my lord above, I've just spotted the multiple chins. Wow. Honestly, it's horrendous. Shrek springs to mind. Actually, I don't know if I can look at you for an entire session. Move slightly to your left.
Caroline.
No, a bit more. Yes, that's better. Gosh, that was unsettling. If I were you, I'd steer well clear of supermarkets and anywhere with strip lighting. You don't want to frighten people. They might think you're ill or had some dreadful news that's aged you overnight. Oh, how insensitive of me. Have you had bad news?
Caroline.
No? Well, then, I think you need to face facts. There comes a time in every woman's life where she should either embrace extensive and expensive surgery or sit in the dark. I mean, not pitch dark. Obviously, you'd bump into things, but strategic lighting's best. For someone whose face has gone to pot the way yours has. Candlelight's very good. What about a candelabra just behind your head? Not too close. You don't want to set your hair on fire. And maybe ever so slightly off-centre. Then you'll be subtly backlit rather than cruelly searchlit as you are at the moment. Anyway, that's all the free advice you're getting from me today. You probably can't wait to hear what's been going on in my life.
Correct.
Mind you, that's your job, isn't it? That is what I pay you for, after all, although frankly, sometimes I don't know why I bother. Anyway, where were we? Ah, yes. Me, myself, and me. That's a little joke. Do you get it? No? Oh, well, it's quite subtle. Of course you don't. Anyway, have you Googled me recently?
No.
Well, you should. Because I've got a new website, which now features a wellness page to complement my Eat Clean, Stay Lean fandango. You know, you've done the kombucha and fermented fish, the spirulina soy lattes and demagnetised tea. Now try a turmeric enema. I mean, honestly, who knew? Actually, demagnetised tea doesn't exist, but it doesn't stop people trying to buy it. Apparently there's been a surge in people demanding it in Whole Food shops. It's only a matter of time before someone repackages their builder's tea and makes a killing. All thanks to me.
Really?
Anyway, my wellness page features an exclusive club, which you can join at an eye-watering price. Because, firstly, I'm not a charity. And, secondly, you don't get exclusivity at bargain basement rates, do you? People simply wouldn't trust it. So I have to charge a fortune, but for that, what you get is a personalised rearrangement of your lifestyle and diet, curated, they love that word, by myself, with a bit of help from Edmund, because I've discovered he's rather good at writing persuasive nonsense blurbs, which sound like they mean something, but absolutely don't. He's got all the buzzwords. Honestly, I see a career in advertising on the horizon.
Right.
I mean, smudging. Ever heard of that? As a lifestyle concept? No, of course you haven't. But you will. It sort of involves rubbing round your skirting boards with a bundle of sage twigs. At least I think that's the idea. I mean, I haven't tried it myself. Why would I? I'm not insane. It doesn't have to be sage. It can be lemon balm or bay or hyssop. That last one's very popular because it's harder to find and many people have never heard of it. Anyway, as I say, you rub or smudge round your room with a bunch of twigs whilst drinking a tisane made by soaking a crystal in purified hot water and striking a Tibetan copper bowl. Do this 3 times a day for a month and your overdraft vanishes overnight.
Oh?
Well, of course it doesn't. Paying out for this sort of advice doesn't come cheap, so your overdraft will in fact increase. But, as I've said many times, people will believe anything. And why not take advantage of desperation when it's just sitting there waiting to be exploited? I mean, this may make me sound rather cruel.
It does.
But personally, I describe myself as bracingly realistic, in a culture where most people seem to be living in la-la land. And is that my fault? No, it isn't. I mean, basically, they just want a bit of hope, don't they? Plus an absolutely flat stomach and bouncy, shiny hair, a light, almost imperceptible golden tan on long, smooth legs, and the ability to stride to the tube in 5-inch heels without clutching onto walls for support. None of which is remotely realistic. Unless you're me, of course. And even I can't do the heels.
No.
But what I do believe in is the placebo effect. Edmund's been genning up on psychology and that sort of thing recently. And he said, the thing is, Mum, people want to be listened to. They want to talk about themselves and their fascinating quirks and their food intolerances and unusual skin type and their spirituality, which is profound yet invisible to the naked eye, and they want to be taken seriously. And you see, that's exactly what I provide. Well, up to a point. Obviously, I'm not actually taking them seriously. I'm only pretending to. Quite often I'm rolling on the floor laughing, but they don't know that, do they? Bless. Because it's all done online.
Really?
You know, the alternative for most people is you go to your GP, if you can get an appointment before next Christmas, and you're in and out in 3 minutes. You mention your existential angst and generalised feelings of despair, and the response is, I haven't got all day, get on the scales and have you tried statins? No? Well, here's a prescription, come back in 3 months, and no, I'm not interested in your bunions. Next.
Caroline.
Whereas, when they join my exclusive wellness club, they have to fill in a questionnaire 10 pages long, all about them. It's almost worth the fee just for that, Edmund says. I ask them about their favourite colours, favourite foods, length of their index fingers on each hand, which has no relevance to anything, of course. It's just nice and specific, so they think it has. I even ask them their favourite word. You'd be astonished how many people say slim. Also, quite a lot say cuddle, which makes me feel a little bit queasy, if I'm honest. Edmund suggested we add a favourite sound, and almost everyone says cat purring or baby gurgling, you know, both twee, irritating and predictable. Although one person did say the sound your wetsuit makes when you take it off, and someone else said fish. What could they possibly have meant? Do you think it's some autocorrect thing? Or maybe they can actually hear fish, but fish doing what? We had a goldfish once and we never heard a peep out of it. Anyway, Edmund says...
Is Edmund working for you now?
Well, on an ad hoc basis. I pay him a retainer. But no, he's still hacking into government computers, as far as I know. I mean, he swears he isn't, but he's an inveterate liar. Look at all the lies he told about not going to the Finchley Satanist Circle when he was there every Thursday night, handing out nibbles and drawing pentagrams on the carpet. Oh, and that reminds me, I must tell you about my date. You'll love this.
That'd be novel.
So... I've been doing a bit of online dating, as you know. There's no shame in it these days. Everyone does it. I'm not looking for a husband or anything. God, no. I've had one of those. Did I tell you he was sailing around the world single-handed?
No.
Well, that's what he told my daughter, and she passed the news on to me.
I had no idea he was a sailor.
Neither had I. He once got seasick on a cross-channel ferry. I think he's making it up, actually. He hasn't even got a boat, as far as I know. But, you know, grandiose schemes have always been his thing. He once bought a lot of mountaineering equipment because he was going to climb the north face of the Eiger or Everest or something. Sometimes he'd put all the gear on and sit watching Saturday night TV dressed up like Sherpa Tenzing with a little ice pick in his hand, which is why I thought it best not to argue with him.
Now, Caroline...
The rest of the stuff just sat in the garage until I took it to Oxfam one day and he never noticed. And I put the ice pick out for recycling. He never noticed that either. Anyway... Back to me and my date. A barrister. A QC, actually. He looked rather dashing on his photo and ticked all the right boxes. Very much like me, you know. People need to get a grip and stop moaning. Life's unfair, but it's entirely your own fault if you haven't got the job, house, wife, physique you long for. So, I have to say, my hopes were high as I set off for a rather strange restaurant where everything was served on pebbles surrounded by hay.
Oh.
I mean, I only found this out once I sat down and saw other people's food coming out and watched them struggle with it, move bits of straw from their teeth as they ate. Because my barrister date was 20 minutes late, so I had to sit there twiddling my thumbs and getting increasingly irritated. And then he did show up. And guess who it was?
I have no idea.
Derek Bloody Fisher.
I don't understand. You said this man looked rather dashing on his photo.
Well, actually, it turned out to be a rather bad photograph of James Mason.
Oh.
I wondered why he looked so familiar. And, of course, all the rest of the profile was just made-up nonsense. I was absolutely furious. Who wouldn't be? How dare he turn up pretending to be a handsome, successful barrister when actually he's a Satanist who believes in actual fairies? He said he saw one in his bathroom once polishing a tap. Anyway, I was so furious. I mean, really, it's stalking, if you think about it, that I picked up the large pebble on our table holding a pat of whipped goat's curd or yak butter or something and threw it at him. It hit him square between the eyes. He went down like a skittle. And to cut a long story short, I was then arrested.
Oh, dear.
So then I had to explain the stalking and the Satanism and the dating subterfuge and how he'd got my son involved in his ridiculous world of pointy hats and pentagrams. And the policeman, who was trying to take all this down on his computer, just gave up and asked me if I'd taken any drugs recently. Luckily, by this time, Derek Fisher had made a complete recovery. He said he didn't want to press charges, and I was let off with a caution. So, all in all, I suppose you could say it's been a bit of a week.
It certainly has. But I'm also very worried about Edmund's computer hacking.
So am I. Believe me. On the other hand, he does seem to have found something he really enjoys. But I did make him promise not to hack the American government system, unless he fancies 300 years in prison with an electric chair as the finale. But I think he's quite happy noodling amongst the files of the Environment Ministry or the Department of Justice. And I must say he's found quite a lot of interesting recipes in there. We both wondered if they were a code for something else, but no, they're just recipes. Oh, and he found an erotic novella. I think that was in a file marked Sundries in the Department of Trade and Industry.
Right.
I mean, people are just looking for meaning, aren't they? And not finding it in the Department of Trade and Industry. Or anywhere else. I wonder if that's what I'm doing.
I'm afraid that's all we have time for today, Caroline.
I mean, we're just looking for something to fill up the void, aren't we? Because nothing's quite what it says on the can, is it? I mean, you might be the Minister of State for Knitwear or whatever, but it probably feels like a bit of a hollow victory and soon you'll be dead and what was all that about anyway?
My guess is you're talking about yourself here, Caroline. But we can discuss this next week.
Yeah. As soon as I get to the nub of the matter, as soon as I get to the big questions, it's bye-bye.
Caroline, you spend the first 10 minutes of every session criticising my appearance, suggesting I get plastic surgery, and telling me to lose weight. And it's your own time you're wasting, not mine.
I know all your tricks. You can't fool me. You haven't got any answers, and you're trying to avoid the issues.
Maybe next week we can start with the nub of the matter and work backwards to the many flaws in my appearance. That way, you'll get some of the answers you're seeking.
I doubt that very much. And no thanks, I don't want a tissue.
Goodbye, Caroline.
Honestly, I don't know why I bother coming here sometimes.
See you next week.
Well, you might. I'm not promising anything.